Michael Avery with Classic Business.
When it comes to investing, emotion can be your number one enemy. I recently tweeted a graph of the JSE's returns in dollars over the last 11 years, and we've seen that we've moved largely sideways since October 2007, which at the peak was just before the global financial crisis. And I asked suggestively whether this was a sign of opportunity or a sign of structural decline. Now, maybe Twitter is just prone to fatalism or homily or whatever else you want to classify our tendency to see the negative, but most of the responses came out saying this is a sign of a structural decline, and the usual suspects came out to punt their offshore businesses. Does this view withstand scientific rigor, though, if we look back far enough in time? Well, it's a great pleasure to welcome Warren Ingram, wealth manager at Galileo Capital, to talk about this on the show tonight. Evening, Warren.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, you wrote an unequivocal piece a few weeks ago in the Business Day, for which I see some commentators have given you some flack, but quite clearly they are talking to their own book. It's become quite an emotional debate, this, about whether or not we should be investing locally or offshore and where all the value is. How do you see the debate at the moment? It just seems to be too heated.
There is a real dynamic going on at the moment with people that are fearful about the prospects for South Africa. And part of that fear is being driven by, I'd like to call them talking heads. You have a particular agenda, and you know they're putting as much content as they can in whatever form in the media to drive people to become increasingly fearful, and I would argue irrationally so. And the reason they're doing it is because they want to provide the solution to the fear that they've created. And inevitably, that solution will be a product, a fund, or something that these people are offering. And so to me, that's just not a good way to make an investment decision as an investor. You know, to read an opinion piece in the media by someone who provides a product, to me, you should be reading that with a really jaundiced eye and taking potentially some valuable information, but discarding the bulk of it. The flip side of that, however, is we have lived through the nine lost years or Zipta years or whatever you want to call it. And without doubt, those have been enormously damaging to our economy and to the stock market as a whole. And I think investors are correctly skeptical about the prospects for the South African stock market going forward. And I think that, you know, that skepticism can be healthy. But what I would say is there are real prospects for investors in the JSE, and one shouldn't just ignore them because of the past. Now, Warren Buffett always says that's like driving forward but looking in the rearview mirror and hoping that that'll help you steer. And that's not a great way to steer a car at all if you know how to drive.
Well, exactly, Warren. And if one goes back far enough, I mean, one of my all-time favorite investing books is Triumph of the Optimists. It's 101 years of global investment returns. And if you look at that, the Aussie returned 7.4% compounded annually over that period. That's where inflation averaged around 4%. So a 3.4% real return. Now, what happened over the last 100 years? Well, we had a couple of world wars. We had a crime against humanity in a system called apartheid. We had some pretty tough times. Yes, we've had the Zipta years. But if you were to read some of this commentary, you would think that we're going to blow up and become Venezuela tomorrow, which, let's face it, we've got our challenges. But that just isn't grounded in reality.
And I think it's always about what's possible and what's probable. It's possible that that we drive ourselves off a cliff, and it's interesting. The whole of South Africa seems to operate based right at the edge of chaos. You know, we're forever 5 years from the end of the world, and somehow decades later here we are still going and sometimes thriving and sometimes struggling. But as a country, we are pretty extremist in our outlook. And my view is, that investors need to be quite rational when they look at something like this and say to themselves, if you look at the makeup of the JSE, companies like Richemont, Maspath, British American Tobacco, many more have very little to do with what goes on in the South African economy exclusively. You know, they might have a portion of their profits and their revenue from South Africa, but large chunks of what they earn come from elsewhere. So when someone tells you to sell all your shares in the JSE and invest that money overseas, what they're telling you effectively is to sell out of some very large, global behemoths, in fact, that have very good growth prospects. For what? I'm not quite sure. And that's really the point here. The JSE is such a diverse emerging market stock market that you cannot just paint it all with one brush. It just simply is too simplistic.
It is far too simplistic and reductionist, but as you said earlier, it does speak to a particular book. And looking at some research from Credit Suisse, their global historical research report that they update annually, would you also believe that weak past country GDP growth and a weak currency are actually superior predictors of improved or outsized stock market returns into the future? And I suppose what that's pointing to is value. And if one were to rush offshore now, one might effectively be making one of the worst mistakes, to go back to Warren Buffett, and that is selling low and buying high.
Absolutely, Michael. If you look at our big banks and that are listed on the JSE, you know, many of them are offering dividend yields that are equal to the best interest rates that they can offer you, and you know that tells you that the situation is skewed. And I think you know what people need to bear in mind is we have some really good management teams of South African businesses, and they haven't been sitting idle in this economic climate. They've been reducing their costs, cutting headcount of staff, right-sizing their businesses, getting themselves and their product mix right, and getting themselves adapted to the current environment. So any kind of positive economic growth from here would be a much better situation than these companies have faced in the last few years. And that would translate to, I think, outsized profits for a year or two or three for these kinds of companies. And investors would be selling out of them now at a time where these companies are right-sized and ready for any kind of positive news. And let's face it, we're not all doom and gloom in this country. A few little things can go right in the next few months, and suddenly we're all sitting here thinking that this is the best place and the best market in the world again.
And sadly, I must say, that includes the media as well. We've got to raise our hands, and I say the royal we there. I've also got to raise my hand, because often we do get stuck in the doom and gloom and the sort of fateless trap that nothing is changing and we're impatient for change. But if we don't zoom out far enough, we don't really see the wood for the trees and perhaps a little bit too emotional and knee-jerk in our decision-making. Warren, thanks so much for the time. Look forward to chatting to you again sometime soon.
Thank you so much.
That was Warren Ingram, wealth manager at Galileo Capital, wading in to the battle of the optimists versus the pessimists here on Classic Business.